You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you very much. So deal with us, and we'll thank you that we're able to be in the middle of your grace and your mercy. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little study, we're looking at how to survive in these very momentous days, changing days, to say the least, globally, not just locally. And so that's something that has not occurred in at least our lifetime, not like this. So now, in the light of that, and we looked, God gives us some wonderful help. Always, he always has it there. Some of the Psalms are written, Maskil, for the tribulation, so that when the tribulation comes, the Jew can read those Psalms. And those Psalms are written to help them get through it. And God gives us, Paul, the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. And God gives us David. And therefore, Psalm 20, as I, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now we did that, and we're trying to get all the in little bits and pieces around it so that we get the magnificence of what God just recorded about David. And David was, well, hang on. Now, so here we are looking, and we share together that we are in the middle. We are in the middle. God and this wonderful person is going to go and glorify himself and do that which is pleasing in his sight. All things that he does are in his will, and God does them. So it is God's will to create, to be the creator, to make it all have a purpose, to make it all work out, to make the whole painting, the whole picture, to be just what it's supposed to be. And to get there, we have time, history, outworking itself, till the end of the millennium. And we have all of that taking place. We're at this point, just preceding the tribulation, going down the corridor of time. Now God, what are you going to do? God's going to show his wonderful person, and we share together. God created good and evil, and without doing all of that, remember, evil is the absence of God and the absence of good. It's easy. Now God, how are you going to demonstrate that? I'm going to use humans. And Adam and Eve followed suit, like Lucifer, the son of the morning, did. And chose to go against God. All of that understood. Why was it understood? Because Christ, before he created anybody, died on the cross. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So before anything was anyway, God already knew what it was. Anyway. He's foreknown, he foredid, foreunderstands, foreoutworks. And he did it. So we don't have any question. Now, God, what are we doing? We're looking at looking at him, and us. We're in the middle, as believers, in the middle of a world system that leaves God out. The world system is evil. That is, God's demonstrating his marvelous person in such a way that what is it like to be without God? Well, God made it possible that everyone could be and have God as their Savior. But that wasn't going to be. And God allowed it to happen, has allowed it. And so here's evil. Now, God, how are you going to show it? I'm going to show it. I'm going to have people that can in the line of Adam. And the line of Adam is going to be represented by us humans. And us humans are going to demonstrate what? The freedom to choose, to be able to go and look to God, and be saved or stay unsaved. That's a choice. And in the process of all of that, then evil. What is it like to be without God? Evil. And what is that like? Well, it, God's missing and good's missing. All you got to do is look at humans. We're filled with politics, religion, culture. We got it all. And that's how they live all over the world. You study the groups, the people, where they live. That's what they do. You want to know what it's like to be without God? In a time of grace and mercy. Hell is a whole nother ball game. But right now, it's grace and mercy for the world that live without God. You got to remember that. So you say, well, it could be. No, you have. No, we're just looking at the people that leave God out and have no place for God. The religion, politics, everything, but no place for God. So keeping that in mind, if you would, and here's the believer coming down the corridor of time, demonstrating God's grace and mercy. So in the process, we shared in God's wonderful plan that he wills, he wishes, he designs, and he produces what he does. And all of it that he does is for his pleasure. That's wonderful pleasure. Now, without, it will be forever if I keep repeating it all. But over to John chapter 15, if you're there. John chapter 15, going directly, remember, the abiding, the branch and the vine, etc. And chapter 15, verse 11. The Lord Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now God, and we shared that we've been doing this, God, it's a pleasure to God. His design is pleasing to him. He delights to do his design. You are designed and physically in a most magnificent way, physically. There's nothing anywhere like you. You're the only humans. And there you are. And God designed you physically, and we're going to die. Physically, wages of sin is death. But the person inside is, if they think the body is something, then consider the person that is inside your body, you, inside your body. What must you be like? You can see your body, but you can't see you. And God has what? He made you in his image and likeness. That's what he did. Not your physical. You inside. Now what on earth is that like? Well, if we don't believe, we never know. But if we do believe, God, it's his pleasure to save everybody. It is his will to save them. So when God, we receive the Lord as a Savior, and God is pleased to save us, wants to save us, it becomes wonderful for us that we enter into a relationship with God. And what God is, the delight God has, the joy that God has in being your God and Savior becomes your joy. His joy becomes your joy. And you are wonderfully, wonderfully awed, excited, in a healthy, growing way, hang on, to understand it's an awesome thing to be saved. And God wants us to be thrilled, excited. It's our pleasure, pleasing to God. And we're pleased to be saved. We're delighted to be saved. Where do we get that? His joy is your joy if you're saved. And that's why it isn't whether you conjure it up or think of some reason to have this, whatever that guy's talking about up there. It isn't that. No. It's what he has. It's his joy that he gives to you. And his joy is what you enjoy the fullness of, God's wonderful design and purpose in creating you, saving you, and having a wonderful plan for your life. That's what we're shooting for, to see that. Now, having said that a little bit, having said that in the light of that, so here's David, and David, like Paul, walks by faith and not by sight, looking, trusting God. Now, and God is the author, he starts it, he makes it all work, and he ends it, as we share together. Now, in the light of that, all of that is evil, and we live in the midst of it. So over, if you would please, to Psalm 37. You'll remember we were there on Wednesday. And in Psalm 37, picking up, please, in thought. Here's David, and remember we shared on Wednesday Psalm 37. David is the penman for God, and David is going to tell you, David said, listen, I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, and I want you to know, God says, I want you to learn something from David. So Psalm 37 is instructions or help how to handle the day in which you live, he's telling you some things, and we did them on Wednesday a little bit. Today we want to try to add another piece. Now, so having said that, verse 25, and remember we shared together, David, verse 25, 37. I have been young and am now old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed breaking bread. David is old. Psalm 23, old. Now, it's you hate getting old, right? But you have to get old. When you were rip-roaring 20, 25, and knew everything, you were great. But then time goes on, and you aren't so great. And if you keep living, all the greatness disappears. Did you ever notice that? All the things that you, boy, they're all gone. They're all gone. Ah. Then we have a word that we didn't get. We've learned how not to do a lot of things. In the College of Hard Knocks, old people have that advantage. Old people. Young people haven't got it yet. Oh, that doesn't mean they can't be smart on the smartphone. That's what smartphones are for. No question. But what I'm trying to tell you is, you got to get older. You got to go through the bumps and the everything, and you learn. You learn. And most of the problem is that we don't usually, I don't want to get sidetracked. Years ago, when I was a little boy and that kind of thing, growing up, having to do stuff in Boston, delivery and stuff, as a little boy, and I loved going to Chinatown. I have to go through Chinatown up in Boston. And going through, I always appreciated back then, because it always was wonder to me. Here were these dear older men in their little shops, and men. And the young people, you know, back then, you always respect the old. And I always said, wow, to be able to sit in front of those old people and learn from them. Learn from them. That's what I always wanted. To be able to be wise and learn from them. Wow. They don't do that anymore, are they? Not anymore. It used to be. We want to learn from them. You want help. The old people. Now, that doesn't mean they're perfect or anything. It just means they've been through stuff. They certainly can tell you how not to do it. And we're in the process of learning how not to do it. We're learning how to stumble through. So here's David. David, are you going to be able to help us? David, you aren't 20 years old. No, I'm not 20 years old. I'm an old man. And as an old man, I've been through, and then we shared all the things. He's been attacked. He's been killed, tried to kill him, everything. And that's David's life. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, evil and darkness. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, and we walk by faith and not by sight. So, in Psalm 37, remember, we have, picking up, if I, well, let me just quickly pick up the flavor of it, at least very slightly. Psalm 37, verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So don't get all tied up looking at the world around you, that you're surrounded with it. And you need to understand that, the world around you. And you don't want to be transformed, conformed to this world system, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You don't want to do that. So in the process, don't be fretting. Don't get fret, to heat, to burn up. Don't get all excited, all irritated about life, things in life, and all the different things we mentioned them that come our way on a daily basis, from the media, from work, from home, from everything. And we're caught up in the middle of them. And we don't want to get caught up in such a way that we're burning ourselves out. That's a good way to say that. We're burning ourselves up. We don't want to do that. Then we get all tired, worn out, and we don't even know it. And we're under great stress and we don't even know it, because stress is so normal. Since stress is so normal, we just do it all the time. We live in it. We don't call it stress. It's normal. It's stressful. And more stressful than ever. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we went through all of those things, so we don't want to be that. And so when we come down to verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, for fret not thyself, again, for the second time, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to work, to pass. So don't we shared all that a little bit, thunderstorm, the hurricane. And now, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself the third time, thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't get caught up trying to follow suit or getting caught up in the system, even as an opponent. You're saved from it. You aren't in conflict with it. You're in the middle of it to be a testimony. You aren't going to be able to knock out the bar rooms. You're not going to be able to fix the unbelief and the bad and the evil and the violence and the stupid, the many things that are so cuckoo today. You can't fix them. The government isn't even fixing them. No, we're to be a testimony in it to show there's another way. Now, in the process of that, God, so looking to you, we don't want to fret. And in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 11, that's verse 10. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, etc., etc. Verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. So God, and verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. So everything, don't get all, you don't want to copy them. You don't want to follow them. They aren't going to end up. So that's the whole point. David's walking in the valley, and he has to go down the corridor, and God, and he's doing it. So now we share together. Remember in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He does that. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He refreshes me. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that introduction, verse 1, 2, and 3, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, pitch blackness. I'm in it. All of those things are true. They're wonderful. But you have to understand, in possessing them, where are you going to possess them? Not in heaven. Not on the beautiful isle of somewhere that you want to think you dream about. You're going to possess those 1, 2, and 3 verses on planet Earth in the darkness, and evil and death surrounding you. That's when he leads us in the paths of righteousness. That's when we find the still waters. That's where we're going to find them. We aren't going to hunt them. No, they aren't there. We're going to find them because God said, this is where I'm going to do it. When? Where? In the valley of deep darkness. That's where I'm going to do it. That's the whole testimony. God is pleased in saving us, and we ought to be pleased to be saved. And we ought to enjoy the trip, as difficult as it could be. Now, having said that little bit, leading us in the paths of righteousness, Psalm 37, if you're still there, and going to verse 39. In verse 39, as you come to the end, just hang on to the information. But, verse 39, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. God does it. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So God is the source to get us through everything and by everything to work it all out. God has to do it. Now, so when we come over now to where we want to take a look at, in the light of all that, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now that's not many words, and seem rather simple words, basically, but the message and the involvement of that, that's something else. So now, here we're looking at it, Psalm 37:23, the steps, the step to march along, to walk. That means walking step by step at one's course of life, one's daily living, how you live your life on a daily basis, inch by inch by inch by inch. And that's how you do it. You walk down a step, a pace, one at a time, going down the corridor of time. Now, and having said that, over, if you can, to see it, over to Proverbs. Just to put that a little more in focus, Proverbs in chapter 16. And Proverbs in chapter 16, picking up and please in thought, remember now, we're looking, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So, here's the steps, one step at a time, and God, what about the steps? And the steps. So here, chapter 16, picking up in verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Revelation 4, verse 11. He created everything. All things are created for him, for his will. That's why anything is. Bugs, birds, mosquitoes. God did it. It's his will. Now, verse 4 again. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. God, Genesis 3:5, I create good and evil. Adam and Eve chose evil, and that's what we got. Now, God, I allowed it. Now, so in the process, sliding down to verse 9, a man's heart deviseth or plans, a man's heart deviseth or plans his way, Man's way. We got to get out of bed and do everything. Man's way. But the Lord directeth his steps. So God, hang on, here's all the world, 7.8 plus million, billion, all over the place. That's right. All moving around. Now, God, that's what you did. Everyone's out there, and they planning and doing and hang on. So, keeping that in mind, over to chapter 16, verse 33, you know, the lot is cast. Persons think of your lap, what you get out of bed, and whatever's going to be on that day, today. The Lord is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing has to do with judging. It's the judgment of a judge, justice. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. God does that. Now, everyone's doing what they're doing. Say, doesn't anyone care? Who's know what they're doing under the back room over there? Or what they're doing in that plan to kill somebody? Doesn't God know? Absolutely. Absolutely God knows. There's no question God knows. There's no question of that. But God knows all the steps. God knows what's going on. Hang on. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 20. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 20, may I go directly to verse 24 in the light of the context. Verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Are they interested in why they're here, walking around, work, home, school, coming, going, eating, drinking, sleeping? Are they caring? Are they interested? Are they involved? No. Well, they aren't. Now, over to Jeremiah chapter 10. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, you'll remember as we did that in chapter 10, and reminding ourselves in the light of all of this, in chapter 10, you'll remember the wonderful words, verse 23, 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. No. It is not in man that he walketh to direct his steps. No. But boy, we're busy. Why is that? We're in darkness. A state of death, a state of darkness. And we're busy in a state of death, in a state of darkness. How much do you think we're getting done? Oh, we're designing going to the moon or something else. That's right. But how much? We're trying to get the virus. We're trying to do this. That's true. But what are you doing in the dark? What are you doing? We're all busy. No question of the things of life. Now, therefore, verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but do so with judgment. What did you read in Proverbs 16:20-33? The Lord is cast into the lap, but the whole judgment is God's. Now, if you're smart, Jeremiah isn't a stoop. He knows. And Jeremiah says, listen, it isn't up to, he knows. The heart of, the cursed be the man that trusteth in man. The heart is deceitful, etc., chapter 17. So here, verse 24, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So God, the whole judgment is God's. So God, but please, I don't want you not to judge me. I don't want you not to do the right things. But God, you've got to do it in such a way that I come out all right. All things work together for a good. God, you got to make it come out. And that's where God comes in. Evil, good. God can make it come out. It's impossible. Why hold it? What are you looking for? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, here we are going down the corridor. And here's our 7.8 billion of us plus. And what are we doing? We're all walking around. We're all busy, busy. Every one of us are from Adam. True? Adam, Eve, Noah and his three sons, and us. We're all from the line of Adam. So what are all humans? All humans, that's us, in the line of Adam. We represent Adam. Adam, we represent him. Get this. Over to please, Genesis chapter 5. And in Genesis chapter 5, you'll recall we're made in the image and likeness of God. So that isn't a question. Being in the image and likeness of God. And so when you read in the accounting of humans, chapter 5, picking up in verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Genesis 1, 26, 27, in the image of God, likeness. We did. That's right. But Adam and Eve sinned. So what? That's verse 1. Verse 1 is right, except Adam and Eve sinned. Therefore, we go down to verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begat of his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Not after the image of God. Adam, what did you know? That I lost that. We lost it. We lost the relationship. God has restored it. Adam and Eve believed God. But in believing God, do you think they were pretty good parents? They're next to perfect. Okay? And guess what? The first rascal that came is Cain. Now, how did he do? Now, who produced him? Adam and Eve. They nursed him, fed him, changed his diapers, if he had any, whatever. And he did all that. And Cain. So, are you surprised? Sweet. And then, of course, Abel came along. And then Cain came along. And Cain produced Genesis 6, all those humans, along with Adam and Abel and all of them, and Cain. But Cain produced a line of sin, evil. That's what he did. They did evil continually. Who did? Everyone in the Genesis 6 before the flood, they lived, multiplied, doing what they do, like the 7.8 billion. They did what they're doing, and they did it. It was their normal life. They represented what in Genesis 6? They represented man, humans, out of Adam, they represented Adam, fallen, sin, death, darkness, evil. They represented that, and God allowed them all to be coming and going, and they all represented Adam in a fallen nature. True? And what do? We follow suit, and here we come along, and us humans in the same, out of Adam, same nature, only had a long time to develop. And here we are. We're in the line. Children of Adam. Now, God, what have we got? We got all of those, this whole world, unsaved, the unsaved part, is doing what they do, and they represent what? They represent Adam in his fallen nature, and thus evil. What is it like to be without God and without good? God saves you, and you become a child of God in his saving grace, and you're on earth. And now you're walking next to the Adam in the sin and this last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, who saves you. Now, what are you doing? They're all, and you did once until you got saved. represented Adam in his sin. We get saved and we represent the last Adam, Christ Jesus. That's what he has us here. Children of God, children of the devil. Got it? There they are. Isn't it hard? They're all doing what? They're all walking in their steps, doing what they do. All doing it, having whatever time in war and peace and famine and everything else. That's what they're doing. No, it isn't hard. God, where is all that? It's right in front of us. If you know what you're looking for, it's right in front of you. You don't have to dream about it or be up all upset. It's right there. We live it. We see it every day. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, a God's wonderful thing, and all humans are guilty before God, they need to be saved, and God wants them saved in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, over to Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, picking up in thought, remember, we're looking, and the steps. So you got the steps. People are all doing what they do. Unsaved people are doing what they do, representing Adam in sin, darkness, death, evil. Believers are supposed to be walking, doing the same. They eat the same hamburger, go to the same grocery store. But the difference is, one's a child of God, and one isn't a child of God. Easy. And they're walking up and down the street. And the angels, good and bad, and the whole world system is looking. They look at each other and look at believers, etc. Believers look at them and each other, and that's what we got. All of it happening. Uh-huh, that's right. Now God's letting it all work out as people come and go and do what they do and how they do and as they do. Wow, and they do it. Now, so here's a word in verse 23, the steps of a good man. The word good isn't there. It's used because this is the word, there's four different words for man, M-A-N. This is the little word that has to do with strong, powerful. Not a coward, not a physically, possessing, courage. And be able to go and produce, valiant, it's used in Jeremiah and that. Valiant for the truth. Valiant. Then they come to you. There's a word that will help you with this, the background of this. Think of the word algebra. Algebra is the bringing of broken pieces together and make a whole. Algebra is what? Takes the pieces that are apart and makes a whole. What are you saying? The word man. It's a whole man, a strong man. Coming together. Wow. How does that happen? Over right next to us, Psalm 40. And you'll see a little word to help you. Psalm 40, and in verse 4, if I may. And in blessed be the man, there's your word, blessed be the man that maketh the Lord his trust. So what does it mean? Now, make this trust. That's the word man, strong. The whole, bringing all the parts together. What does it mean? I'll help you another way. What do you know? When we come to God, we're to love God with what? A whole heart, mind, strength, everything. If you seek the Lord with your whole heart, you'll find him. What is a strong man? Algebra. All the parts come together. The person, man or woman, boy or girl, seeks God. They bring their whole mind, mentality, work, home, school, all of that is put aside because they're going to seek God. The whole, strong, courageous. Blessed is the man that does that, to seek God with his whole heart. Whole heart. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, So here's God looking, and we're growing, and people are growing up. Now, I go back just a step, a half a step. When you were born, all of the people that are born were all little, and we finally, depending on how things are going, you learn to walk a little bit after the bumps and bruises and everything, and you learn to walk and move around. Most of us learned how to walk, and in doing all of those things, and we learned how to walk. Now, and we took one little step at a time. That was a big thing when you took your first step all by yourself. You don't even remember it, do you? I know you don't. You don't remember what an exciting time it was. I don't even think you understood. We didn't understand. We just did what we did and ran right into the corner of the house and a wall and cut our head open, trying to run, you know. I know how to move, I don't know how to stop. So here we are. Wow. Okay. Now, God, here we are growing up. We aren't a little baby, we're a teenager. And we're growing up. And we taking steps? Uh-huh. Only with a different because we've advanced. And then we become an adult and we take steps and we're taking steps. We're doing what we did from day one when we were a little baby. Only our steps are different. And what we do is different, but we're moving in the same way, one step at a time, and that's how we enter life, and that's how we do. We do a little eating and drinking, coming and going, work, home, school, play, and all of those things. And we do them, and therefore we're living our life. And that's what we just said, the unsaved are going to live their life that way. And then you understand also the believer is to live his life. The life is different now. Life is different. So God said in Psalm 23, going to go and God, we're going to all the steps of a man, a good man, are ordered by the Lord. So all of the wonderful steps, one step at a time, is going to be God honors them, God works them out in a most wonderful way. Well, what does it mean in Psalm 37 again? Psalm 37. And in verse 23. And you will note the steps of a good man, what about them? They're ordered by the Lord. He's the author, he's the authority, he's the source. What did you just read in Proverbs? All the paths of a man are plans and everything, but the paths, the outworking of what and how much is God's. God lets it all happen within a given framework, and they're free to do whatever in their darkness and death, and believers are free to do in the light and in his grace, to eat and drink whatever you do, to do it to the glory of God, because you're children of God. And people, angels looking down, good guys, bad guys, what do they say? There's the saved and unsaved. There's the children of the devil and the children of God. And there they are. Now watch them. They're going to demonstrate. They're going to demonstrate evil on the one hand, demonstrate good on the other. That's what you're going to do. So you watch them. And now, hang on. So here's the word order, the verb. The word has to do with order. God is the source, and it's passive, intensive. Tensive passive, to make firm, direct, to firmly directed, established, well-founded, locked in, steps of, they're right where they should be. They aren't going to deviate. They're made firm. They're made straight, directed, established, firm, founded like a foundation. This, each step is able to put your foot in the place and it isn't going to go anywhere. It's established. It's firm. The man, woman, the believing heart with the whole heart is what? He's going to look to God, and as he looks to God with his whole heart, his steps are established. Why? Because, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So here we are going down, and David, what are you saying? David said, listen. As the steps, I'm telling you, this is David's helping us. I'm telling you how to do it. Take your steps, with their whole heart, and God honors the outworking of those steps. You haven't got there, and all of God's good will and works, they're God. God took over, and there were the unsaved in the dark, evil, are doing what they do. God is demonstrating his goodness and his grace and his pleasure in taking a believing heart and having them go down the corridor of time in a most awesome and wonderful way. And their steps are established. There's not accidents and trouble and things unseen. No. All those steps are established by God. We haven't even taken them yet. But you're going to take them. If he tarries and doesn't come, you're going to take him. And down the corridor of time, you're going to go. So as we're going down, the established steps, and the steps don't cause us not to deviate from the paths of righteousness which he leads us in. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and he takes his steps. So when we go to work, home, school, eat, drink, come, whatever we're doing, we do all of that, more or less, and we do it. And we're doing it. We need to do it, trusting God, thanking God, walking by faith and not by sight. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we're walking by faith, looking to God, and one step at a time as we get down the corridor. Psalm 40, right next door. Psalm 40, picking up, please. And you will notice, Psalm 40, going to verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, that's like a bog. Think of a bog, a murky, mushy bog. And you're walking, trying to lift your feet out of it and trying to get. David said, he took my feet. I was trying to move, needed to move, and God, what did you do? The mucky, it isn't a super easy road. No, it isn't. But you have to go down it. It's a valley, a death, darkness, evil, that's right. Well, murky, bog. Now, what did you do? Verse 2, he brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and see the word established. There's the word in Psalm 37, verse 23, ordered, established, fixed, firmly fixed, upon a rock, and establish my goings. Now, that's what we're going to do. What are we even trying to say? We're supposed to simply trust God and one step at a time, and do the things that you understand, that you think you need to do, as best you understand them. And there may be things, whatever, but you aren't in the place to see. You only can understand what you do at this point. And you have to do what you can understand and live up to what you can understand and trust God in the process of it all. So therefore, establish his goings. God, you're going to do that. Active. God's going to be God's doing it. Who establishes? God does. God makes it all happen. So God, in his wonderful grace, sends us down the corridor of time in a most wonderful way. Over to Psalm 69. And you connect the two here. Here's David again. Help me with this miry bog. Psalm 69, picking up, please, in verse 1. Save me, O God, from the waters, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Over to verse 14 to add to it. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me out of the deep waters. I'm going down the valley of the shadow of death. And God, you have to go and help me. And God said, what did you find, David, as an old man? God established my steps. My steps, God was ahead of me. And God helped me. God allowed me to stumble through And I kept getting up. I fell down, I got up again. I fell down, I got up again. You'll see that. And I get up again, and I keep going. Wow, that's right. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and over to Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, remember, picking up, please. In verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's the source. He's the source. So all the steps that we take, the believer takes a step, going down the corridor of time. Yea, though I walk one step at a time down the corridor of time. That's what I'm doing. And what else about my steps? My steps, one step at a time. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth. It delighteth is pleased, inclined. It means to be inclined, fully inclined. I'll give it to you, the verb. To bend down to somebody to help them. To bend down to help them. To incline oneself. To give them favor. You go down to help them. Help them, help them. You're bending. You're bending down to help them. That's what you're doing. Uh-huh. The word delight. And when he's bending down to help us, it is his pleasure to do so. It is his delight to do so. He delights to save nobody and anybody who will trust him. He delights to do it. That's what he delights. He bends down with delight. Delight. He delighteth in his way. God's way. God's way. Now David steps on time. David's moving in God's way, and David is pleased to take his steps and to give God the credit, and God, lead me, lead me, lead me. Okay, we got that. God, you have to lead. You have to take David down the corridor of time. Over, if you would please, Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, picking up, please, in verse 21, you'll catch it. David says it. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. I have kept the ways of the Lord. That's right. You're keeping the way. That's right. I'm walking in his steps. I'm walking. I eat what I eat and what is in the refrigerator. I do what I'm doing, going down the corridor, and here's a way, not only my steps, I'm going somewhere. I'm not aimlessly just walking, which we'll pick up tonight. It isn't just that. No, not at all. Nope. And so therefore, as in verse 21, so verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield of all those that trust in him. Now, God, you're going to go. It is your wonderful will to delight in the way that we're going. Whose way is it? It's your way. It's what you want. They're your steps. It's your way. So we're going down the corridor. That's right. In your way. So you got a plan? I do. And that plan, as you know, from Ephesians 2:10 and that, from the foundation of the world, before you were ever created, I had all of this in my mind for you. It was my pleasure. The people find it out? No, they don't find it out. We're doing what I do in the darkness and in the death and in the evil. We don't include God. So why are we created? Why are we here? Why are we here at this time? You could have been created during Attila the Hun, but you weren't. You weren't. You're created for now. Why now? Why now? We could have been spared the virus. That's something. No. No. So therefore, verse 30. Picking up, please, verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. God's way is my way. Aha. Uh-huh. God's way, God's steps in God's way. His steps in God's way, And so his way is God's way. David, they're one, one heart. That's what David had, a heart for God. That's what you remember in Psalm, 1 Samuel 30, he lined himself up. I got to quit. Wow, I got to quit. Now, in the light of that, so God firmly, firmly directing by God, indeed, God's wonderful aim, his glory, his delight. He delights in doing what he does in a most wonderful way. God is pleased to do it. God is pleased to take the believing heart one step at a time down the corridor of time. And he has a wonderful way of doing it, a wonderful reason and aim and purpose for one's life if they would line up with God and let God. God does the choosing. God does the working. We don't. No, we don't even know. The author of our steps, the source of our steps is God. That's why they're so pure, so sure, so sure. And our way is absolutely settled. God is the way. The Lord Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're in the way. Do you understand? Where do you have to go to find the way? How far? How far do you have to go, God? Here we are. How far do we have to go to find you? To find the way? You don't. You don't. I am the way. So God, so if I go, you go. That's right. You take a step, I take a step. I bought your body. I took over your feet and your toes. And we're going down the corridor of time. And if you understand that and begin to grab the simplicity of living an ordinary life in an extraordinary way, then you're starting to get it. You're starting to get on the target. Otherwise, we're fooling around, you know, hoping church will help us in the pandemic and the days coming up, which aren't going to be easy, to say the least. And it'll help. No, it won't help you. No, it won't. I don't care if you can recite to me a whole book of Ezekiel. I think that's a wonderful thing. But if I got one little boy or girl, a man or woman, that's willing to trust God right now with all his heart, that man or woman, boy or girl is way ahead of the guy that can have a whole book of Ezekiel. Do you understand that? One's for real, right now. What good's 38 chapters of 39 of in 38 and 39 of Israel, Russia? What good? What good's that? So they're coming. They're coming. It's going to be an attack on Israel. Yes, it is. Now, what good's that going to do you? That doesn't mean you shouldn't know it. Doesn't mean you shouldn't understand it. And you should enjoy it. It's a pleasure to know this stuff and to live it. But the simplicity of it is, and that's the whole thing of Corinthians, you know, 11, 1. Who has come along and robbed you from the simplicity, the single-heartedness that is in Christ, your Savior and God? Who took that out of your life, the simplicity of it? God, thank you. Thank you. And you go down the corridor. And you're going to miss lunch. And this broke. See, fortunately, the clock didn't break. But this did, see. So what can I tell you? I'll glue it with Gorilla Glue. That'll really do it. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. We're just trying to grab hold of the simplicity, the singleness, the awesomeness of how you have made it just to work in a super-duper way. So deal with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.